I don't know how did I sign up for this. But yeah, it's the grace of God. It's really amazing that how God can put us where we are right now. And I like that song that you sing, Pastor Nathan, Amazing Love. I just remember the verse in Corinthians, the book of Corinthians, is the love of God constrained us. So, and I remember the song, what you called, it's His Stubborn Love that keep us, you know, even in our worst, He embraces us. And He's not done with us. He's not done with me, and He's not done with you. So, yeah. So I'm here right now for like almost a decade, I guess. I haven't been doing this, but we'll see what God can do. Let's open our Bible in Book of Mark, chapter 11. This is a familiar chapter to you guys, so... And I believe God has something in store for us at these passages. And let us read from verse 11. And then we'll jump to verse 20 to 24. Verse 11 to 14. You can just follow along with me while I'm reading. Mark chapter 11, verse, is that right? 11. Yeah, 11. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked round about upon all things, and now that the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Let's go jump in verse 20. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, here goes Peter. I remember Pastor had a preaching on Peter's life, Sunday school, I believe. He reacts right away. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou hast cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto them, This mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. In verse 24, Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Let us ask for guidance first. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you, Lord, for bringing me here, specifically, Lord, to this church, Anchor Baptist Church, where we find, Lord, a family, Lord, that really cares for soul. Specifically, Lord, for the lost souls that are truly have been saved in this church, Lord. I'm really amazed how you are working in this church to our pastors' lives, Pastor Nathan, and everyone that is in this church, Lord God. From the giving, from soul winning, Lord, and from taking a time to each other, to fellowship with each other, Lord. This is an amazing love that you have given us, Lord. Father, we now ask for wisdom, Lord, and I am asking for wisdom and understanding, oh Lord God. Let your Holy Spirit move his free course in me And Lord, hide me behind your cross. And let them see, Lord, what is in your word, not me. Father, tonight, Lord, I'm giving all you the praise. And from this, I will pray this Mark 11. And I pray that you would give me the strength, Lord, on how to present these passages in the Bible. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. In Mark 11, when I was first making this message, I don't know where to start. Actually, I don't even know where to start because it's been a long time since I made a message. But I encourage you guys, especially ABC family, that you need to study. And because as I am studying these passages, there is a lot of things that's coming into me, all different application, different messages. That's why I don't know how to start it, because there's so many things that's been happening here. But God put in my heart here is to start with a place. We have a place here, this building, our new auditorium, you can say that way, I guess. Our new auditorium. So even our missionaries, when they started deputation, or before they are being called, they were considering places geographically, just like our Brother Bart was saying. So we know, as a member of the church, we know what to pray for them. What are they needing? Like, for example, if that country is a Buddhist country and no one ever heard the gospel, you know what's the need for that country? It's the love of God, His amazing love, the gospel, the death, burial, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that they will believe. Because I believe that's the power of God unto salvation. Yeah, and in verse 11, we see here, and now the eventide was come. He went out to Bethany, and Bethany with the 12, with his 12 disciples or apostles. And then tomorrow they were come from Bethany as he was hungry. So the word Bethany, that's what gets my attention. Bethany is situated in a west bank, or it was called a landlocked territory in our time, or even in those time. Remember when last Sunday Pastor Nathan preached, and I read their missionary letter. I can't believe what I read. They kept their 5 kids under the trunk. I don't want to mention the country, where is it, but they kept their 5 boys under the trunk just to give glory to God, to worship. And then how resilient those people are. They know where they went, that the gospel is prohibited. They know that the gospel were not even even say it to the public. So they were doing it underground. So places are really important for us. I believe there's an application here for us as well here in Anchor Baptist Church. And yeah, it's situated in the West Bank or landlocked territory near the Mediterranean coast of Western Asia, or border of Jordan, the Dead Sea, to the east, and by the Israel to the south, west, north, under Israel. Okay? Bethany became part of the West Bank territory. I believe they just call it West Bank later on in this. And then under Israelis occupation following the Six-Day War of 1967, and later came under the control of Palestinian Authority in 1993. This is a landlocked country. So what it's meant with that is either they don't have an access to the ocean, or they're sharing their borders in another country. Like us here, we are in the border like where Pastor just came in right now in USA, what is that? Peace Ark border, where we go out to go to US or Point Roberts, we can also go there. So those are their shared borders. So they don't have the access to their merchandises or some of the merchandises that they needed. It's either they will get dehydrated or thirsty because there's no water. They don't have an access to the water, or they don't have an access to land transportation. So I believe that's what our missionaries is considering as well. So how can a help comes to them through our support financially? Okay, I think it's not in my text, but God is bringing it to me. So from outside world, they are lacking of supplies that they need. And of course, the higher the demands, with lack of supply, the higher the demands, they could go into poverty, something like that, right? But I believe this has a significant part in our message today, if God will allow me at the end of the message. And now here we see our neighboring country. It is critical for the disciples to travel alongside Bethany, Palestinian, Israel, until now, Palestinian and Israel are not in good terms, right? Even today. So it is critical for them to go walking around that border where all the, just like what I saw there, a soldier were walking around with their guns. You might never know what's gonna come next. But here, this, the Bible, the verse says, when Jesus came, went to Bethany, he went with his 12 disciples. So they don't even notice or they don't even think what is the danger coming to them, because they were with Jesus Christ. That's where their faith coming in, faith that they can see. For us now, faith through Jesus Christ, believing with Jesus Christ at the cross. For them, Jesus Christ was still walking with them at that time. Okay? And they're traveling alongside with Jesus during those times, but they followed anyways, even whatever danger that comes into their lives. It could be the same with us happening today in your neighboring cities. What I mean by this is members might live somewhere in our different cities or our neighbors. This is Israel. They were in the West Bank, and the other side is Palestinian. In our day-to-day, the application is we have our neighbors. Like, for example, when you're in Burnaby, you go across boundary, it's already Vancouver. So there are always people that are watching our testimonies. There are people that are watching our testimonies, but for us Christians, can we even say boldly to them that we are Christians or a follower of Jesus Christ, just like these 12? They were following Jesus Christ alongside. But for some reason, most of us, and I am guilty of this, sometimes I cannot even say to my co-worker that I am a Christian or to a neighbor that I am a Christian. And this is what I am trying to do right now. I am praying to God that they could know what my real testimony is. Although we are still on the bless, just like my neighbor recently, God are really pushing me to give the gospel tracts to them, just like my neighbor when they're doing the, and I did, but for a long time I haven't doing it for a long time. But I had the chance to talk with them, and because we are being a friend to them, we're helping them when they're cleaning their backyard or something like that. So that testimony could mean something to them as well. So yeah. And Jesus is not the not only interested in our life. He wants that all should come to repentance and be saved. That's why our testimony is great. It's really have to play an important part in our neighbors, in our workplace, and even in our family, because this Jesus wants everyone or should come to repentance and be saved. There are always people that are watching us. Don't forget that. So that border or that situated, that Bethany, there are always some people there that are waiting for their testimonies. One just wrong mistake, and they're done. They're done. That's it. And then, don't you love this with our Lord Jesus Christ? This is what I learned. He is in our human flesh. We go to the next verse. And the morrow when they were come to Bethany, he was hungry. Jesus said he was hungry. And I love that. And I love that verse because that can help us know our Lord more. Because when he feels like a man feels, he could feel hunger, but a man feels every situation. In whatever situation happening to us, God really knows because he himself experienced it during his personal ministry. He was hurting, he was hungry, and I don't know if he's being unhappy, but I believe God is never unhappy. He's always happy, just like Pastor Ben is saying. There is no bad days in our God, in our Lord. But he felt all these things. Remember when he was even when he suffered. If you can remember the cat of nine tails, Jesus Christ bear that pain for us. It will strip your skin off when they hit you with that cat of nine tails. This only means that nothing can escape in the eyes of our Lord and that he cares for you because he himself experienced it during his personal ministry. And we know that he is with us. And let's open our Bible in the book of Psalms 139. If I speak something that you don't understand, I'm not speaking in tongues. It's just Tagalog. Filipino Tagalog. It's not Italian or Portuguese, but it's my own mother tongue. And most Filipino can relate to that. Okay. In 139 verse 14 and 18. And this is how God knows us well. In 139 verse 14 to 19, yes. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully made and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest part of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in the continuance were fashioned, where as yet there was none of them. How precious also that are thy thoughts unto me, O God. And let's jump in verse 22, 18. If I should contend them, there are more. I think I made it wrong. Yeah, so every bit, every part, and we are called as well by his name in Second Chronicles 7:14. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. So he even called us with by his name. And you know what that name is? I believe it's in the book of Acts. And this is why I was thinking we all have the same last name. We have a new name written in glory, in the down the glory. In the book of Acts chapter, I think chapter 7, I didn't, chapter 7 verse 14. Where is that? Chapter 7, verse 14. Ano? That's right, right. I think I printed the wrong one. Acts 4:12. I printed the wrong one. We are called Christian in Antioch. I think it's in chapter 18, right? Mm-hmm. It didn't print the verses that I wrote down. Yeah, we were called Christian in Antioch. Okay. And he knows us well from the creation in your mother's womb and are from our fallen state as a sinners. Because of our Lord is long-suffering, he stretched his grace even more, and we are bought by his blood, so we could be called Christians. Okay, that's one thing I learned from this, is we are called by his name, which I think we call ourselves brothers and sisters right now because of that name that was given to us. We are called Christians, and in the Chronicles, we are called by his name. And now we were called Christians. And you can say that my wife's last name is Christian now and not Tejada. So we call ourselves. And okay, we can jump in, we can go back to our text in the book of Mark 11. When Jesus said he is hung, when do we turn in all of these things? How do we? Okay, sorry. Yeah, where do we turn on in all these things? When Jesus say he is hungry, but when men were hungry, we usually don't think right. We indulge in our own desire. Treating it with excessive leniency. We tend to look for something satisfying. It could mean hunger for food or look for our eyes or good looking good to our eyes and taste maybe. But it's junk. But I believe cake is not junk because it's written in the Bible. So, yeah, so I love cakes. And with rather than looking to the Lord, but the Lord said in the book of Psalms 107, verse 4 and 5. They wandered in the wilderness in the solitary. This is man's way when we were hungry. Solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul painted in them. So the same feeling that our Lord is feeling when he is hungry, we're also feeling it. And then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distress. Okay, and sometimes it's better to trust in the Lord than to put our confidence in man. This is what the verse is telling us like there. They're trusting in the Lord. And the song, in the Lord. And the Lord is my strength and songs, and he become my salvation. In verse 14, I guess. That's it. That's in verse 14. Verse 14 of 107. Yeah, 118 and 8. 118 and 8. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put our confidence in man. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Princess here is the authority which we are right now. So we know that we have a prime minister and they have a president in our neighboring country. But all these things, we don't need to put our trust in them, but we should put our confidence with God, in our God. And he become my salvation in verse 14. The Lord is my strength and my song, and is become my salvation. And the Bible call it, I simply call it this, the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. That's what we usually do. We turn to these things when we don't have nowhere to go. But in the Bible says we need to turn our eyes to God, in order for us not to satisfy all this indulging, the lust of the eyes, flesh, and the pride of life. And we know counterpart these things to us. Like, we need the word of God, just like a man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And Job put it this way: he esteemed the word of God highly, more than his necessary food. And in the book of Jeremiah, he actually said it. It's shut up in my bone that he cannot contain it. He has to say it. In Luke 24:32, this is the verse. I think it's much in Luke 24:32. Let's open our Bible and look at 24:32. Is that right? 24:32. Yes. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn with us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? In order to fight this indulging with us, I think we better have more time in the Word of God rather than getting more time in ourselves, getting more time in our, what he called, vices maybe, or habit, because that brings us more, stay away more to God than getting more closer to God. So in the verse 18 of the, we go back to our text in Book of Mark, chapter 11. We go back there, Mark. I didn't put my anything much. I think it's 11 again. And in verse 18, and the scribes and the chief priests. So where do we turn first when you're hungry? We turn to the Word of God instead of the in our flesh, indulging to our flesh. The next one is, when do we turn when you heard it? Okay, the scribe heard it as well. In this passages, the scribes also heard what they were talking about. In Mark 11, from 14 to 17, things are happening here. Jesus Christ went to the temple. He let's read it. He went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and seats of the that sold of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And that and he taught, saying unto them, It is not written, is it not written, My house shall be called all the nations' house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. This could mean our the temple of our body as well. We are doing a lot of stuff in our body, but we never understood that our body is the temple of God. And whatever we do with it, we're destroying the temple. It's like what Jesus said here. He is the nations, all the nations shall call his temple the house of prayer, but have made it a den of thieves. And verse 18, and the scribe and the chief priest heard it. So even the people, the unbeliever can heard it. But when they heard the word, they just mocked the word scornfully, or they destroyed it, and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. When they heard Jesus Christ was teaching, and astonished with his doctrine, the first thing that came into their mind is to destroy him. So that will be the same thing that will come into any unbeliever's mind. Neighbors, anything, our missionaries, when they started reaching out to them, that's why you should be like harmless as a dove, sharp as a serpent and harmless as a dove. They find ways on how to give them the gospel where they cannot be offended, or they cannot be retaliating or making joke upon that. And the scribe heard it, the priest and they heard, and their response was to destroy him. But look at this thing. Peter heard it too. Remember? Peter heard it too. In the chapter, Luke 18. Peter heard it too. I think in verse 21. Yeah, and Peter calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. So Peter heard it too. That's his first response. And you know Peter, he's so excited right away when he see something that our Lord Jesus Christ has done. He was so excited, he cannot contain his mouth. He's always around Jesus Christ all the time. He's the closest one, I believe, on that time with Jesus Christ. He's always around with Jesus Christ everywhere he goes. And in Luke chapter 8, verse 15, Luke chapter 8, verse 15, we can read, But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, give it and bring forth fruit with patience. So those who heard it will, on a good ground, they shall keep it. But those people that don't have nothing to do with our Lord Jesus Christ, sometimes, we can still pray for them. Sometimes it was hard and hard. Only we need to pray for them for the seeds to really sink into their heart to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Okay? Because here's the thing. When God saved me, He didn't save me when I'm better, when I'm good. He saved me when I recognize that I am a sinner. And Jesus Christ bore that pain on the cross to pay for my sin. Because I cannot say that I can save myself from the fires of hell. But we all know that the penalty of sin is death. And that is, we paid our sin debt going to hell. But what Jesus Christ did, and you may not believe this, shame on me if I don't believe this. And shame on you as well, because that's the word of God, Jesus Christ himself. He died, for God so loved the world that He gave His Son, that He died. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. For whosoever will believe. Let's just read the verse. I'm in, I don't know what's happening right now, but we'll see. John chapter, chapter, what is that, 16? What? I don't even believe. In Matthew, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And our sin debt is paid by Him, because we are called redeemed. For without the shedding of blood of Jesus, there is no remission of sin. And we can call now to our Father, Abba Father, because as many as receive Him, give us the power to become the sons of God. We are now a son of the Father because of Jesus Christ. Through Him, remember all those people in the hall of faith in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of faith, they were, it was counted righteousness for Abraham when he believed. And we cannot please God. Without faith, we cannot please God. And faith is a substance we cannot see. But let's open our book in Hebrews chapter 11. I believe it's 11. Yes, bear with me. Hebrews chapter 11. Cannot find my Hebrews. Maybe Hebrew, not Hebrews. I get that from joke from pastor though. Hebrews. Hebrews. Okay, Hebrew. For without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that all diligently seek Him. And in this verse, I think that's chapter 9, the hall of faith. No, it's in chapter 11 as well, right? Yep. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found. And yeah, but without faith, and faith is a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things that not seen. That's how faith works. It's not of all, it's not of us. It's not because of us. It's because of Jesus Christ, what He did at the cross. Let's go back to the text in I believe. Am I over the time now? I think so. Mark chapter 11. We're almost done. Verse 23. Where do you turn when you lack of faith? For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which have said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. The mountains here, is an obstacles or that hinder us. For God, it is not an obstacle or mountain that hinder us. Oh no, I think I'm wrong. This passage is teaching, Jesus' teaching is, He's teaching us on faith. It's the illustration of faith, the exhortation of our faith. Teaching on faith, illustration of faith, and exhortation of our faith. Because in us, there's no good things that dwell in us. Just like Romans 7, chapter 7 says, there's no good things that dwells in us. We are carnal. So the carnal tendencies, we have habits, addictions, and depression that comes into our heart. And this is why Jesus Christ cursed the fig tree, because of its unfruitfulness. It has leaves, but it's unfruitful. It has no fruits, and it doesn't make sense because the leaves comes out. It should be with a fig on it. Just like I remember one time in our workplace, I saw a flower. I'm just going to make this an example. Maybe it would make sense to me and to you too. I saw a flower, one flower, and then it get my attention. It's beautiful, but it stands alone. I walked there and took pictures of it. So zooming in and take the full bloom of the flower, it looks good. But as soon as I turn my eyes around it, I can see dried leaves, dried trees, dried trunks, and everything. So he might have leaves. You might have some, you call yourself a showmanship. But there is actually, the roots are withered and dried inside you. And you, for them that they can see, the people around you, they wouldn't be converted as well to Christianity. Because there is unfruitfulness in your life. You might say that you're a good person outside. You might say that I'm on my tie, but inside, I'm a sinner saved by grace. And I really like what the song says, Amazing Love. And his stubborn love just bringeth me here back in this form of kind of preaching that I didn't do for a long time. So those carnal tendencies and addiction and habits that we are doing or depression, it's harmful around the people around us. I saw the flower standing there alone, but it's harm. You can see around it, it's all dried up. It doesn't make sense. Maybe he just popped out earlier than those guys. But it should be springtime. It should be all around us. Should be budding now, right? So the same thing with us as well as Christians. Those addiction habits that we have, vices that we have, it can harm other people as well, especially our kids. I try not to really, I get mad for sometimes with my kids, but I try not to show some stuff that my kids would follow me. Of course, there's an influence. There are influence around us in this world. We cannot control that, but we can pray for them as well. That's how we can control, and we can admonish them in the word of the Lord. And now, as we go back to the place that I'm talking about, Bethany is a small biblical site on the eastern slope of the Mount of Olives, just outside of Jerusalem, situated in the West Bank under the Jordan control from 1949 to 1967. Bethany became the part of the West Bank territory under the Israeli occupation following the Six-Day War of 1967, and later came under the control of the Palestinian Authority in the wake of the 1993. This is our conclusion verse in Zechariah, and this is what hits me. Let's open our book in Zechariah. I think it's before Matthew, right? Zechariah chapter 4 or chapter 13. Let's go to chapter 13 first, and let's continue on. Chapter 13, verse 8 to 9. Okay. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, say the Lord, remember the Mount Olives? This is where our Lord Jesus Christ will set first his foot when he comes with his saints. And this is the second phase of the second coming. The first phase is the rapture. And it shall came to pass that in all the land, say the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off, and die, but the third shall be left therein, and I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. This is the word again. We shall be called on his name, in his name. It is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. And in chapter 14, verse 1 to 5, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and the spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations. And when he fought in the day of battle, I skipped the two. Okay, I will gather all the nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city they shall take it, and the house of refold, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth and into captivity, and the residue and the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations on when he fought in the day of battle, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount Olives. That's where we mentioned about the place. He shall stand in the day upon the Mount Olives, which he before Jerusalem on the east, and on the Mount Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. Speak, Jesus said, speak and thou shalt remove. Speak there can be said as confidently say to our mountains to go away, our vices to go away, our carnal tendencies and habits to go away. And this is what the Bible said, and ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel, she shall flee like as a fled, as she fled before the earthquake in the of the Uzziah, king of Judah, and the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. I think that's it, right? And it also says in Revelation 19. Remember, you can see this verse, the last verse, the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. Who are the saints? We are the saints. Those people that are believers in Christ, baptized, scripturally baptized, the church are the saints, or the people that are saved. It's not the statue that are saints, or those people that are dead. We're still living, but we are called saints in the Bible, even in the New Testament.